What is going on, my real estate investing friends? I wanted to jump in here and tell you thank you. Thank you so much for listening to the show. I seriously hope that it brings you an insane amount of value in order for you to be able to crush it in your marketing for your active real estate investing business. This show is specifically here to educate real estate investors on amping up their marketing. So more than likely, if you're listening to this show, you are either already an active investor or you're wanting to jump in, you're doing a little bit of educating for yourself. So if you're either of those and you enjoy this show, you're gonna wanna subscribe to the REI Marketing Weekly Email Newsletter. Yes, I know that's a mouthful, but it is totally worth it because that's where this show kind of derived from. And in that newsletter, it's 100% value content and it's got four segments in each newsletter that goes out every single Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time about crushing it in your real estate investing business marketing. We have segments where I myself give a marketing tip. We have a segment for a marketing update or a how-to. So if there's something that's new on like Facebook or a new algorithm for Google or something like that, we talk about that, or there's a new platform that comes out. We also do a lot of how-tos. And then we have a segment specifically for somebody that is in an active real estate investing business, crushing it in some form of their marketing efforts. And that's where this show comes in. So we're literally stripping the audio from that interview and putting it into this show. So there's that segment on the email newsletter. And then there's a segment specifically for a tool or a resource that you're able to use in your marketing. So in order to get to this, go to colormedia.com/subscribe, colored spelled C-U-L-L-E-R. So colormedia.com/subscribe. Make sure that you do that. Do not miss out on it because it's a great newsletter, 100% value. There's no selling in there. And you guys are going to learn so much from that. It's just an extension of this podcast and for you guys to be able to go deeper into your marketing and get all these little tips here and there that are going to help you stand out in your market. So again, thank you so much for listening to this show. Make sure that you share it around with your friends. I seriously appreciate it. If you do, leave a review if you're able to, and then I hope you enjoy. Let's get started with today's Who's Crushing It segment. Let's go. Welcome back to the REI Marketing Weekly. It's your host, Josh Culler with Culler Media and REI.video. And if you're watching on video, don't pay attention to my background. I know normally I've got this like fancy camera set up and background with me on my show, but if you're listening to audio, you don't even have to look at it right now. But I'm in a hotel right now because I'm in Nashville, Tennessee with my client, Jerry Green, at his mastermind. But I wanted to get this special guest on the show with us today because I've been trying to get him on and we finally made it happen. And this is a guy that I've known for quite a while. He's actually in my market where I live at. And he's just a fantastic dude, a great, great guy. And we've had many conversations about the different things he's doing in his business as well. So Adrian Shabbat, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
Doing good. Well, it's good to have you on the show. Like I said, I'm excited to have you on. One of the biggest reasons I'm excited is because you are in my market. And so I get to see a lot of like what, you know, you're doing with what a lot of your competitors are doing as well. Even though I don't actively invest in real estate specifically the, you know, the Northwest Indiana market, but like you guys have done an incredible job of marketing yourselves, building the brand that you have, Region Home Buyers, which is going to be the primary conversation that we have in this episode, guys. I know a lot of people talk about when it comes down to brand, a lot of people talk about you want to do a mom and pop type feel to it. And I think that works in some markets, but other markets that you want something a little bit more polished. So for instance, like the market that Adrian's in, maybe he'll talk about this a little bit. It's right outside Chicago. So it's Northwest Indiana and you're in Lake and Porter County. Is that right, Adrian?
Primarily.
Yeah. So it's right outside Chicago. So it's technically considered Chicagoland area. And so it's a very urbanized area, very, very populated, densely populated market. And so, like I said, Adrian and Justin, his partner, they've just done an extremely well done job on marketing themselves and becoming really a name that everybody knows in the area. So before we get into it, guys, if you haven't already, make sure you have subscribed to the REI Marketing Weekly. We are on all podcast platforms, no matter where you're listening. If you are on Apple Podcasts, do me a massive favor, head back over after this episode, leave a 5-star review on the homepage of this episode or this podcast, not this episode, but this podcast with your thoughts and feedback. I would much appreciate that. That'd be a really, really cool thing. And then shoot me an email if you have any questions. You have maybe somebody that would be a really good fit for the show, josh@colormedia.com, color is spelled C-U-L-L-E-R. Leave me an email and I'd love to connect with you. And also make sure you are following me on Instagram. So Instagram, I have changed my Instagram handle to The Content Ninja. That was dubbed by Matt Andrews. We had him on the show a couple of weeks ago, but he dubbed me The Content Ninja. So I'm like, hey, I'm going to take it and run with it because our model is we chop up content. So it's cheesy, but we're going to run with it, guys. It's my branding at this point. And so make sure you do follow me on Instagram. Shoot me a message if you have any questions. All right, so let's go ahead and jump into today's episode. Again, I'm excited to have Adrian on the show today. So Adrian, do me a really big favor for the people that don't know who you are. Introduce yourself, who you are, what you do, a little bit of the origin story of Adrian Chabot, and you know, what's gotten you to the point to where you are today.
Cool. And again, thanks for having me on. It's good to actually do this with you finally.
Yeah.
So I started my company Region Home Buyers in 2015, and I started to primarily be a wholesaling company. Over the years, we've progressed. I'd say now we're probably 50% wholesale. The other 50% are houses that we're keeping as rentals or stuff that we're flipping. This is, you know, just because market changes and stuff like that, this is a little bit of a slower year for us. So we'll probably end at about 80 houses this year. It'll be the, this year we'll do the most flips than we've done in the past. But previous years, last year we did 114 houses. The year before we did 102. So we average somewhere about 100 houses a year. And you know, we're primarily Lake and Porter County, but as far as the company name, and I put a lot of time into that, and I'll give you the background on that.
Yeah.
This area is nicknamed the region. It comprises of five counties. I think, Dicka used to joke about the region. And there are other companies in the area that are using the region in their name. So I wanted to have a locally branded company. So that's why I went with Region Home Buyers. And when I got started, your former employer was a massive company. They were doing deals in, what, five or six states?
Yep.
I think my first year they did like 300 deals.
Yep.
I was starting out as your traditional wholesaler without a ton of money, minimal experience, and minimal connections. And I knew long-term to compete against a company that you worked for that had experience, had tons of money, tons of private lending, I needed to build a brand. So when I got started, I had money that I set aside for marketing that we'll talk about, you know, the direct mail, the pay-per-click and all that. But then I also set aside money that only built the brand. And I was okay at the time spending money that wasn't necessarily going to bring in leads, but got the name recognition.
So what's the marketing that you did to build the brand?
A lot of it was just Facebook, you know, putting my logo in all the different groups, Craigslist. One of the big things I did, and if you're in my area, there's an individual, you see him on every billboard, every restaurant placemat, and he does senior care. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't even need senior care yet, but if I know someone who does, because I see his name all over the place, that's what's going to be triggered. Hey, you got to go call Fred. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of the same thing that I wanted. So when I partnered up with Justin in August of 2016, we got company vehicles right away. We put our logo on the vehicles.
Yeah.
I am in 14 or 15 different Catholic parishes. They do their weekly bulletin. Mm-hmm. So I have ads in that. You know, my key avatar for a seller is typically someone 50 years and older. You know, so the old lady that's going to church Friday night, Saturday night, grabbing the bulletin, bringing it home, talking with her family, and they see, you know, they have a conversation about, hey, we want to sell the house, but it needs work. What are we going to do? Oh, boom, there, you know, it's just name recognition. Yeah. So we're in probably two dozen restaurants on the placemats. And then in the Catholic churches, we did the vehicles. We sponsor a lot of local things at school. Mm-hmm. And we do that for two reasons. One, it's the name recognition. Two, it's just giving back to the community as well.
Yeah.
And that's something that is one of our core values. So we understand when we're giving, you know, $500 to sponsor football for the local school for the year and be in their program, we're probably not going to get leads from that.
Sure.
But the big thing, and I'm not a marketing expert by any means, my background's in biology, so it's just trial and error. But when people get our mail and they see our logo on that, and then they see it at the restaurant, and then they see it at church, and they see it at the football game, and they see it all over the place. One, it gives us more credibility.
Yeah.
And two, it's just one of those things. Our business is very need specific. So I remember talking to someone in, and he's like, man, your mail hit me at the exact right time. You know, his tenant just left. They had trashed the place. He got my mail that week. Well, I didn't tell him. I had been mailing him 15 times over an 18-month period.
Yep.
Didn't remember any of that because he didn't have the need.
Right.
So it's one of those things, when they have the need, they get our mail or they see us marketing on Facebook or whatever. And then they're like, oh, I've seen that company before. And right away we have instant credibility.
Yeah.
And this sounds bad, but we're all in the same boat. Most people are lazy. They don't want to go find 10 companies and have 10 appointments. They're going to find a company that they like and trust and work with them first.
Yeah. So something that's very interesting about everything that you said, and we call this inception marketing in the marketing world, because what's happening is all Adrian's doing is planting little seeds here and there. Everywhere somebody goes, they see, like, I see the billboards. I see your guys' trucks everywhere when I'm driving around. I've been at restaurants where the placemats had your logo on it. And I've even gotten a direct mail piece from you guys, right? So, like, these are all things that are just planting little seeds inside of, even though Adrian may not know that he's hitting these people that are potential sellers, that's the goal, right? Like, your goal is to reach cast a wide net in your market to reach people that are potential sellers. And what's happening is that if somebody does happen to be a potential seller and they do see that billboard, they do see that placemat, they do see the truck, they do see everything else that's been going out, they're going to put pieces together. And like you said, this is why I think that the whole magic number for the follow-up, the 7 touches, is ludicrous, because you mailed them more than 7 times, and they probably saw your truck. They probably saw the placemats at least 1 or 2 times, chances are. So, like, when it comes down to it, follow-up is just, this is why I always say it, follow-up is marketing. And when it comes down to it, all the marketing that you do, when it comes down to mailing them, if you're doing cold calling, if you're doing, you know, billboards or whatever it is, it's all just follow-up, touching people in these little areas and allowing them to see your logo that will cause them to think, as soon as they need to sell the house, they're like, who's the first person I'm going to? Well, oh, I remember that Region Home Buyers guy. Like, I'll give them a call because I've seen them around. And it probably, maybe you've gotten this feedback, Adrian, but it probably, like, having the fact that you have been on the billboards, that you have the trucks going around, it probably builds a lot of credibility in the people's minds, I would assume. Is that any kind of feedback that you've gotten from people?
Yeah, I think it does. And we did billboards once for us in our area. That was a waste of money.
Yeah.
I got 2 calls from that. Sure. A guy I go to church with is like, hey, I saw your billboard. and then another marketing company called me.
Okay.
But I know in other masterminds I've been in other cities, I know a guy doing billboards in Dallas, and they're great down mm-hmm. there. But in this area, it didn't work. I mean, a good analogy is like a new car. You know, you buy a new car, and before that, you don't even notice anything. As soon as you buy a car, then you're like, you see them all the time.
Yeah.
So, you know, people see us all the time, but they don't really notice us. And then they have the need, and then they see us all the time. And it does give us credibility. I mean, I have sellers that are like, dude, I see you all over the place. Mm-hmm. And we are. And, you know, part of my budget, you know, when I'm planning our year and planning our goals, and, you know, and we work backwards. If we want to do X number of houses, I need to do a certain amount of marketing.
Yeah.
But we always have a budget for what I call branding. And that's to do the, you know, the placemats and the schools and stuff like that. And it works. I mean, every once in a while we get a call from a placemat. Hey, I'm in town. They didn't get any other marketing for whatever reason, because no marketing is perfect. But they see the placement. And, you know, if we can get one house a year from something like that, it usually covers the cost of the branding anyway.
Yeah. And the branding stuff, a lot of that's, you know, pretty cheap relative to like sending out 20,000 mailers or something like that. But I think that's great that you have an extra budget set aside for just the branding. And like, marketers will teach you all the time, like, putting your logos on stuff, that's not just to like bring leads in. It's to plant those little seeds. It's to plant those things inside of them so that, you know, you probably have gotten a lot more closed deals and a lot more leads from people that have seen all those things. It's just they didn't relay that to you, because that's not a measurable thing. Like, you can't log every time somebody sees a placemat, right? Like, that's just not possible. But I think that those are just, like I said, they're just little seeds that you're planting inside their head, so that when they do get that mailer, they're like, they don't know why, but they can recall your name from something they've seen. They can't remember because it's just skimming past it. I think of this one movie, it's called Focus. It's with Will Smith and Margot Robbie. And there was a scene where they were trying to, the whole thing's about like scam artists and stuff like that. But the concept of what they did was they took this guy and he was supposed to select a random, there was a guy, they're watching a football game, and this guy was in the same booth with them, and they placed a bet, and this guy was supposed to pick one football player's number, right? And the number was 55. And what these guys did, because they're con artists, they're scammers, they placed 55 in, like, they knew where this guy was going to his hotel, they knew where he lived, they knew where he was going to be coming from and all that stuff. And they placed the number 55 in so many different areas. They even had one of the songs that was playing in the booth. It was, I think it was like Korean, and it just says 555, like all, like very repetitively. And that's just planting it inside their head. And then by the end of that bet, he had picked that number 55 because he doesn't know why. It was just what he recalled. And same thing with branding. So if you guys ever get a chance to watch that movie, it's great. But that's what I think about. So Adrian, when it comes down to it, like branding, that's something that you guys very much prioritize. I am interested to hear like what you guys have changed in your marketing over the past year or so. I mean, we've been in a wild year. I know we've had some conversations about things that you've been trying, and I think it's admirable for you because you guys do try things like they're on a consistent basis. You said you tried the billboards, and I think that's great, but you know when to, you know, cut it off. So maybe that's the next question. So with all the marketing things that you've done, how do you know when you want to cut it off or keep it going?
I try to give it at least 90 days, you know, because again, we're need-based. So someone may see our message and not have a need. And if they have the need at day 80, but you cut it off at day 75, then you're going to miss them. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we have artificial timelines because you're signing a 6 month, or like with the billboard was, I think it was a 6 month contract. So I had to give it the 6 months.
Sure.
I've thought about doing Pandora yet. I haven't pulled the trigger on that. I like the idea of it because you can target zip codes and you can target age.
Yeah.
That would be a 6 month contract, but you got to give it at least 90 days. You know, we do a lot of direct mail. The direct mail, it is expensive, but we've been doing it consistently for years, and it does produce. But like my last mail campaign finished up about 4 weeks ago. The next one will go out in a week and a half, but we're still getting calls from that. So yeah. You know, when it hits, initially you get a bunch of the calls of people yelling at you, cussing you out for sending them a postcard. You get past those first couple of days, and you know, we're 3-4 weeks from that mail hitting, the calls we're getting now are legit leads.
Sure.
So
yeah, that makes sense.
We talk days about this stuff. I mean, if you're going to spend the money to do marketing, whether it's a branding marketing or specific marketing, like with direct mail, that's specific because I'm targeting a specific age, specific area. You got to track it all. So my placemats have a separate phone number. The vehicles have a separate phone number. The church bulletins have a separate phone number. I knew billboards were useless because we had a separate phone number for that, and I could track that.
Yeah.
The schools that we sponsor, collectively, we have a phone number for schools. So everything that we do is tracked.
That's good. What system are you guys using?
We're using Podio, and we just built it out ourselves.
Okay, gotcha. So you're not using CallRail or
We use CallRail for all the different phone numbers.
Right.
But then that all integrates with Podio, so okay. We can track everything that comes in for that.
Sure.
So we probably have 60 phone numbers in CallRail right now.
Yeah, that makes sense. So the very purpose, guys, I want to make sure you caught this, and this may be like fourth grade level marketing, but I want to make sure you caught this. The reason why he's doing the multiple phone numbers is because he can track it, because now he can see where calls came from and where to pour more fuel on that fire. So for the billboards, if that phone number is not ringing at all, he knows like, I gotta lop that off, you know? So just want to make sure you guys caught that. So Adrian, kind of wrapping this up, we got to let you go here pretty soon. What are some things that you've changed over the past year or so? When it comes to your marketing, have you tried new things and they failed? Have you tried new things and they've succeeded? maybe some patterns that you're seeing in marketing. What are some things that you guys are doing different right now?
We brought in, beginning of the year, we started text marketing. I have an admin in the office. She sends out about 1,000 a week. We've had mixed results with that, with some other stuff going on in the market and nationally with COVID and all that. We haven't pulled the trigger quite yet because that's just an extra variable that's maybe slowing things down. One of the challenges with that is it's super inexpensive. So a lot of competitors, they're not doing mail because of how expensive it is. Yeah. So these people get dozens and dozens of texts. So we're going to give that the rest of the year and see how that works. Outside of that, we're just consistent with the mail and pay-per-click. And I mean, it's the cost of everything has gone up. I mean, pay-per-click back in the day was $50 a lead. Now it's 500, but it's at least in what I'm doing with real estate. It's just consistent marketing that, you know, internet and pay-per-click and direct mail. And I don't know, there's nothing new under the sun, really. It's just tweaking it a little bit and being consistent.
Yeah. But I think that's good.
It's just consistent.
Yeah, I think that's a good message. Like, be consistent with your marketing. A lot of people try, I don't know how many conversations I've had with people that try, you know, something new every single month, and then they don't give it that 90-day time period. They give it like 20 or 30 days, and then they cut it out, and they just don't have consistency with it. And I think you've seen a track record with the direct mail. You've seen a track record with the PPC or whatever else you're doing. And so you pour more fuel on that fire and allow it to keep burning. Until, you know, and like we talked about earlier, there may be a point where direct mail stops getting results for you, but you're not going to know that until you measure the numbers. And so when you do measure those numbers, my assumption is you're going to cut that if it starts performing performing consistently.
What we have done with direct mail is we've eliminated cities, that we're not getting the responses in.
Yeah.
And then what I did last year real quick is I went through all of the houses that we bought and I broke it down by what we paid for it, what that house was worth once it was fixed up, broke it down by city. And we found, you know, in our area, average house sells for about $185,000. Mm-hmm. And that's across, you know, we got areas where it's $200,000-$300,000 and then we got areas where it's $100,000. But on average house was $185,000. We found that anything above like the 120 assessed value mark, that came in through the internet. And it wasn't coming in through direct mail. Direct mail was better in the B and C areas. Now, saying that, we didn't cut our mark off at the 120. We still marketed direct mail up to 200. But I think what's happening, it's more of a sophisticated buyer.
Sure.
They're getting the mail, going online, doing their research first, and then they're filling out the web form.
Interesting. That's a really interesting progression. That makes sense. And I think a lot of people don't think about it that way. So when it comes down to you, like, what are you looking for in your marketing? Obviously you're looking for your demographics and what they're performing at, but like, what kind of numbers are you looking at, in terms of like being able to make decisions like that, where you're going to cut off specific cities or something like that? Like what specific numbers are you analyzing?
I keep track of how much we're sending out, how much we're paying for it. And then again, I mean, I look at all the leads that come in, I break it down to city. What city are we getting the leads from? I mean, the mail, I got mail going out next week, about 45,000 pieces. Mm-hmm. I eliminated three cities because they just don't, we don't get the calls. When we do get the calls, the houses are complete garbage in those cities. Or some of the cities are just too far away and we don't want to go down there anymore.
Sure.
I'm looking at who's calling me and why are they calling? And then eliminating areas I don't want to be buying in anymore.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, cool. Thanks for sharing that. I guess one last thing here that I want to pick your brain about. So somebody that is maybe struggling with their marketing right now, they can't really find a niche to go into. Maybe direct mail's not working for them. Maybe cold calling's not working for them or whatever it is. What's some advice that you would give them in order to be able to like keep marketing in their business? Like, would you say try different things? Would you say stay more consistent with something? Or what would be your advice in that?
That's tough because is the marketing not working? You know, when someone says, oh, my marketing sucks, it's not working, is what are they looking at? Are they looking at that they're not buying houses, or are they looking at that they're not getting leads? Because if they're looking at the marketing sucks because they're not buying houses, well, is that the marketing or is that the person taking the call, going on the appointment, whatever? if it's a lead issue, you just don't have enough leads coming in, then at that point I would look at what you're doing. And a lot of it's just numbers. You know, when I got started, I'd get a house for every 1,000 pieces of mail I sent out, because the market is a lot tougher for investors to buy right now, because people can throw stuff on the MLS and get the price overnight. You know, we're sending out 5,000-6,000 pieces of mail to get the same results as what we were getting 2-3 years ago.
Sure.
So yeah, marketing isn't as good as it was. But it's market driven. Mm-hmm. And we've had to change our expectations on what we expect to get.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's kind of funny. We were at, I'm glad you brought that up, because we were at Jerry's mastermind this week, and there was a guy in the room that he brought up one of his issues was, you know, we're not closing enough deals. And we kind of looked at like what does your leads look like? How many leads are you bringing in? He's like, well, I've got like 70 leads sitting in the queue right now that haven't been touched. And we're like, dude, he doesn't have an acquisitions person. It's him. He's running the business and doing acquisitions. And we're all like, you got to get somebody to get those leads like followed up with and actually work those leads, because right now it's the reason you're not closing deals is because you're not working the leads, and your marketing is working. So you're bringing leads in. He showed us his marketing numbers and everything, and like the amount of leads that he's bringing in comparison to the marketing that he's doing, the spend. I mean, he's bringing in leads. He's doing a good job. He's just not closing them because he's not paying attention to that whole process. So that's a good point. I'm glad you brought that up. So Adrian, man, I appreciate everything you've shared today. It's been great. I know we've had you for a short time, but I will definitely have you back again soon. If somebody did want to reach out to you and connect with you, maybe they're in Northwest Indiana or Chicagoland area and want to, you know, grab a lunch or coffee, or just like, you know, talk to you a little bit and figure out what you got going on, or even maybe bring you deals, what would be the best way for them to get in contact with you? Facebook, email, phone, whatever you want to leave.
I'll give you my phone number. Just send me a text, 219-237-9088. That's the best way.
Okay. Awesome. And guys, we'll leave that down below. And then we're also going to leave his website, Region Home Buyers, the website for that down below. So you guys can check that out and just really visualize like the brand that we're actually talking about, because it's definitely something that you guys need to look at and compare to what you've got going on. So Adrian, thanks for being on, man. I appreciate you taking the time out of your day to be on the show today. And we look forward to having you back again soon.
Likewise. Take care.
All right, guys, that's going to do it for today's episode. Thank you so much for joining in and listening. Again, if you have not already, make sure you have subscribed to the show. If you're on Apple Podcasts, now is the time to head back over to the homepage of this show. Leave a 5-star review with your feedback. I would much appreciate that. Also, reach out to me if you have any questions whatsoever. Follow me on Instagram, and I'll see you guys later. Take it easy.